Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. Wow, do we got an interesting one this week. Vinny Pastore, a.k.a. Big Pussy from The Sopranos, comes on, and Mike Vecchione co-hosts the show this week. And I got to say this, I'm pretty sure he hated me. It's pretty wild. You could listen and decide on your own, but like many of you out there, pretty sure he hated me as much as you do. It was very interesting when I think he's putting a hit out on me. I don't know. It was weird. We do the show live every single Wednesday, Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch live for free, gasdigitalnetwork.com/live, or this weekend only. So you are listening. This came out on Memorial Day, Monday Memorial Day. It's the last chance you can do this. Go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. You use the code SDR30, and you get a 30-day free trial on the network, meaning you get every single SDR ever and the 21 other shows on the network, all in HD, all commercial-free, all the day they came out, along with live chat, along with forums, all that good stuff. Try it out for 30 days. See what you think. And you get 20% off the entire network just by using the code SDR30 at gasdigitalnetwork.com. But here it is right now, the Vinny Pastore, Mike Vecchione episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, I think your second or third time co-hosting. I could be wrong, Mike. I know you came on the show a couple times, but yeah. It is Mike Vecchione, host of the Mike Vecchione Investigates podcast on Gas Digital. Thank you so much for coming back on, dude.
Thanks for having me, buddy. You look great.
And of course, as always, Shannon Heyer here doing production duties, Ani taking notes, and now very happy to have this dude on. I have a great intro story. You know him, of course, I think it's like 40 or 50 movies he's been in. He's got a band we'll talk about, Pasta Sauce we'll talk about, a new movie coming out with Ewan McGregor, Val Kilmer, and his Sopranos alum, Lorraine Bracco. It is Big Pussy himself, fucking Vinny Pastore. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. I can't wait to talk about a lot of things. My band, and I got a movie coming out, and the pasta sauce isn't working out anymore, so we're not going to talk about that.
All right, fair enough. But let me start with this. This is a quick intro story. We're going back to the year 2000, okay? I don't know if you can remember this, but two very good friends of mine that both told me to say hello to you, Janine and Jennifer Esposito. Okay, I think Janine might have been working with you for a while as Abrams Artist, and Jennifer Esposito, right, the actress. They both know you forever. They both wanted me to say hello to you. But so Janine used to do this charity event for animals. And this is in year 2000. Sopranos is fucking huge already. I think it's second season. And one of the things that I was the host of auctioning off was a golf day with Big Pussy, right? So I'm on stage, I'm doing the intros, you were there with me, we're talking back and forth, we get, you know, tons of money to go play golf with you one day. Oh, 2 days later, I'm having dinner with my father and his wife at some fancy Italian restaurant, and you're all there, two tables over. James Gandolfini, Michael Perioli, Little Steven, Steve Sherpa, you're all there, right? My dad and his wife, huge fans of the show, and say, oh my God, that's the fucking Sopranos guest. We'd love to meet them. And I said, well, I just kind of met him 2 days ago. So let me see. And I went over. I didn't know how to explain myself. So I went over to the table and said, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I auctioned you off yesterday. And the whole table started laughing. And you couldn't have been nicer. Introduced yourself to my family. So 20 years later, thank you very much.
Where was that? Was that in Red Bank?
No, it was in Manhattan somewhere. It was at an Italian restaurant in Manhattan. We're going back 20 years.
Probably about Il Cortile, all the way down in Mulberry Street. That's where we used to hang out.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's so long ago. I just remember that moment, and it was just a very funny moment.
Yes, life is funny.
Yeah, so it ties back to that. And then also, we'll get into the movie and stuff, but you do have a podcast called Forget About It that you do with Goomba Johnny.
It's we're going into our second season, and we're starting to line up some really cool guests. It's getting we're going away from all the mob stuff because my guys Michael and Steven kind of soaked up that whole market with conversations with the Sopranos, and I work with those guys. I go on tour with those guys. We got a show. We did Australia, and we're going to Great Britain with the show. So what I said is we got to make it more of a variety show.
Mm-hmm. And just make it, because they actually, you know, they record their show at my Talking Sopranos in my studios called Gas Digital. That's where they do the show there, those guys.
Yeah.
And I was, I'm sorry.
They got a great show. They got a great concept. I saw the interview with David Chase. He said some very nice things about me. I love my interview. I love working with Stephen and Michael. I just got a whole tour guide thing. We're going back on the road.
With the band,
me, Michael, and Stephen, we have a good time together.
And what do you do? You go on, you talk Sopranos together? What do you do on the road?
Well, we usually have Joey Cola opens up for us. He goes on the road. He's a comedian. He's also a warmer up for the Rachel Ray show. And then we have a couple of more comedians. And then they play this theme song and they show clips from the show. And then Joey brings us out and he interviews us. And it gets really funny. Mm-hmm. And then we do a Q&A. And then we do a meet and greet, and that's the show. And, you know, we sold out every show in Australia, 7 cities.
Wow, that's awesome. Did them doing their podcast, I know you've been doing radio and you had a show with Goomba Johnny and SiriusXM, but did their podcast inspire you to do a podcast, or you were doing one already?
No, I had this thing lined up before the pandemic. We had a contract. We were just holding it off. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like we both launched at the same time, the three of us. And Michael was one of my first guests, and I was one of Michael's first guests. So, and I have Shripa coming on this season, the end of the season, when we're going to talk about our tour. So we help each other out. We don't have, you know, we like to, like this, like me being on your show helps my show. I mean, that's what they're telling me. I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
What's the name of your show, guys?
Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Now, how is that going to help me out at 75 years old?
You need drug addicts.
You need drug addicts. Love Sopranos.
Michael, you do not look like a drug addict. You, if anything, you look like the opposite of a drug addict.
I look like every cop is going to trouble on the news.
Ralph looks like a drug addict.
Really? Wow, that hurts.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm not saying nothing nasty about Shannon. Because I'm not ending up on no Me Too list. But Ralph, you look like a junkie.
What type of drug do you feel that I do?
Ecstasy.
All right. I've done it once. I tried it once. Yeah. I didn't like it very much.
Can I tell you something? You look like a stoner.
Like a what?
A pothead.
A stoner. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. You know what's funny, Vinny? I do no drugs whatsoever.
Well, then you don't get any sleep. Something's wrong here.
You're really hurting my feelings. I'm a very
Michael, take him to the gym, man. You gotta take him to the gym.
Vinny, I'm a very tender man. You're hurting my feelings.
I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying what I gotta say.
So you think I look too thin?
No, you look great.
But I do look like a stone.
You look great. It's not my position at 75 years old to be telling you what to do with your life.
I'm trying to understand where you think I need to work on. Is my chest not big enough? I just look weak?
Well, you know what? I did a lot of radio. And when I did radio, I say, well, you don't care how you look because you're doing radio. Nobody sees you. But this is a podcast.
Yeah.
And what you got to do is at least take a shower like Michael over here.
I mean, wow, I just took a shower. You're hurting me. I literally just took a shower.
Well, you didn't shave. I think
that's true. Maybe that's it.
You don't have to shave. This is my pandemic look. I'm going to shave it when I get a part of a gangster, something like again. But you know, I shouldn't be knocking you.
No, I don't mind.
No, because you got a podcast and I'm out of work.
You're not out of work. You got a fucking movie coming out.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Let me just say one last thing about the Forget About It podcast, then we'll get into the movie.
No, don't stop talking about the Forget About It podcast. Otherwise, they're going to pull the show away from me.
Oh, okay. Here's an interesting, again, I'm trying to tie myself into you because apparently I look weak and feeble.
No,
and
you look great.
A drug addict.
He's laughing at you. You don't
look like 6'5". He's actually 6'5". He's really
Michael,
tall.
Yeah. He looks like he belongs on the corner of 42nd Street and 8th Avenue.
Vinny, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I can hear you when you talk to Michael directly.
What a cop. Right near the subway stop.
I'm very tender. I don't know where this happened. All right, so Goomba Johnny, who does the show with you,
yes.
Again, now we'll go back 30 years. He was a bouncer at Scores when I was a DJ at Scores. How about that?
Goomba Johnny was a bouncer? Really?
Yeah, Goomba Johnny was a bouncer at Scores. Well,
why don't you have Johnny on the show?
We will maybe one day.
You know what? He's going to be very upset.
Why? Because I said we'll have him on?
Because you know him and you want
to. I don't know him. I haven't seen him in 30 years.
You said he was a bouncer at Scores. Yeah,
that was the last time I saw him. 30 years ago. I was a DJ.
Why? He drew you out?
No, I was the DJ there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. So
you
I knew him.
You made
then.
Some good tips.
Yeah, I made great money back then. It was crazy. I was a DJ. He was the bouncer. I was at Scores New York for about 2 months, and then I opened the different Scores in upstate New York, and I was there for a while. But I knew him back then 30 years ago. It's crazy.
I was there the night it became, what was it, Sapphire? Is it
Sapphire. Yeah, it switched over.
And I was there with Pamela Anderson and Sharippa, and we cannot post those pictures.
Fair enough. It's a long time ago. So are you enjoying the openness of doing a podcast? Because in radio, you did that with Johnny on SiriusXM. There's more restrictions, but in a podcast, you can do whatever you want. Are you enjoying that?
That's not true. You can do whatever you want.
Of course you can.
No, you can't. You can't show movie clips. You can't play songs without somebody chasing you for copyrights.
I disagree. I think that we do that all the time.
You do? They didn't bust you yet?
They don't bust you. They don't,
on you.
Not yet, because podcasting is not looked at yet as a real medium for entertainment yet.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. You got another it's being looked at real close right now, because I'm a member of the National Local Board of Screen Actors Guild, and we're looking at you guys real close.
Are you coming to get us?
Union be strong.
All right, you're coming to get me because of my drug problem.
You on the waterfront?
Yes.
I'm Johnny Friendly.
Vincent, everything you say sounds like a threat. Is that on purpose?
No, Michael.
I love it. No, I personally love it.
Why would I have a guy? He'll blow up my house. I won't be able to stop my car. Do you know I got a guy stop my car in the morning now?
Sure.
I didn't do nothing wrong.
Well, I don't know. You've already really humiliated me and make me feel terrible about myself, sir. I'm going to the gym right after we're done wrapping this because I feel like I need to look healthier.
No, let me tell you something. You said I could say anything I want on this podcast.
Right.
Here's what you got to do. When you get up in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
You go out and you go on your porch and you daze into the sun and you stretch. You do yoga. Now, imagine people getting up 6:30 in the morning, leaving their houses on City Island, and then they're looking at me doing yoga. I'm out there 6:30 in the morning. Then I walk around the corner and I buy a little yogurt, and I come back and I smoke a joint.
Okay.
And you say,
I'm the stoner.
If he calls me up early in the morning, we talk about this on the show. He says he knows if I smoked a joint or not by my mood.
Okay. Did you smoke a joint now, just so I know?
No, I wouldn't. First of all, I would never do anything like this stoned.
Okay.
It's against our principles, you know? Number one. Number two, your show is called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So why can't I smoke a joint on your show?
Oh, you can. 100% you can.
No, I wouldn't do that.
All right. So you just...
No, I wouldn't do that. You give yourself away.
Why, it's legal now. What do you mean, give yourself away?
Legal, legal. How legal?
Very legal, completely legal.
Like legal, like how?
Like you could smoke in front of a cop. Have you not watched the news? It's totally legal now.
You can't smoke a joint in front of a cop. What
100%.
If you 100%. Give him some donuts, you can. If you give him some donuts, you... Sorry.
You 100% can, sir. It is legal in New York now.
It ain't illegal to smoke in front of a cop.
It is.
Listen, let me tell you something. I was up in Niagara Falls, Wicklow, and Johnny don't get high.
No.
I get high. So what I did, I got some nice pot from my Niagara Falls friends, and I went downstairs, and I was walking up to Outer Hotel, and I was going towards the falls, because if you want to look at the falls in the daytime, you want to have a... So this cop saw me smoking a joint, and he pulled me over and told me to put it away.
Well, how long ago is this?
August.
Okay, so it became legal about 3 weeks ago.
Where?
In New York.
But I'm in Canada.
But I'm not talking about Canada. I'm talking about in New York right now. It is legal.
So I'm going across the Rainbow Bridge. Me and Gary, you know Gary U.S. Bonds.
Yes, of course.
I did still go to three. And the guy picks us up, Michael. He says in the van, we're going over the bridge. If you got any drugs, throw them away now. So Gary says, yeah, Vinny. Last time I went across the bridge, they stripped my car. So I said, all right. I mean, I had some nice herb that I smuggled up from down here. So I threw it in the garbage pan in front of the airport like a jerk. We're going over the bridge, and the guy at the bridge says, Vinny Pastor, Sopranos, what are you doing up here? And I says, I'm up here for a charity event. He says, great, come right through. And I looked at this kid. I said, your mother, you made me throw away all that weed. You owe me.
Well, now I feel like I've given you a little knowledge. You can smoke in front of a cop in New York City. There is nothing illegal about it anymore.
Well,
I feel like you don't believe me, Vinny.
Somebody would take a text picture of me and put it on the front page of the New York Post, and they'll say, Big Pussy busted for pot.
Yeah.
That's what they would say, right, Michael? You haven't said a word. Does this girl talk?
No, we don't let her talk, Vinny.
Why? What are you doing?
I take notes.
What notes?
Vincent, it's more of a Saudi Arabian podcast. We don't let the women speak or drive.
I was in Saudi Arabia. I went over there with Comic-Con. You didn't know about that? I went over with Johnny Sachs, Vince, Federico, me, everybody from Entourage, the Hulk. I was working out with the Hulk every afternoon.
That's
in the
awesome.
Gym. He was working out, and I was sitting there drinking coffee and eating a bagel.
And doing your yoga, I guess.
What kind of yoga do you do, Vincent? Do you do Bikram? What do you do?
What kind of yoga?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I do. And Shannon, please don't get upset. I like to put on that early morning yoga show with the girls on their mats, and I get my yogurt, and I watch them doing yoga. That's the kind of yoga I do.
Okay. I don't know if you're getting the full benefit from it then.
Oh, yes, I am. It's better than Viagra.
All right. Fair enough.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, so now let's talk about the new movie. Yes. First of all, one thing I read, I don't know if this is true, but if it is true, it's fascinating to me that you got into acting, not only not until you were 40, but Matt Dillon is the one who got you into acting. Is that right?
Wrong.
All right. I'm sorry. I read it online.
It was Kevin.
Oh, Kevin Dillon. I'm close.
Who I was with in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, okay. So he got you into acting.
It was funny. We're in Saudi Arabia and he's with Entourage and I'm with Sopranos. And he started telling everybody how he made me a star. It was a funny story.
How did that actually come about?
I discovered Uncle Vinny.
Did Did he put you in something, or like how did that actually?
No, this is a true story. Those kids used to come to my clubs, Paul, Maddie, Kevin. They used to, I had clubs in the Rochelle. We had like 87 bars in the Rochelle.
Wow.
Rocking, man. It was the 80s, right? And I had a stage, but back in the stage, I had a DJ booth, and Maddie used to like to come in and go back there and spin and just play records, you know? And then I wrote a story about it. I lost one bar. I had a lot of problems, the Crazy Horse, and I went over to North Avenue and I was running a college bar. And Kevin used to come in a lot with Maddie because they used to hit the strip that was near the colleges. They used to go to Gary's and Bendover's. And so then Maddie and Kevin used to come in and they dug it. And then I got a phone call one night and it was from Kevin's girlfriend. And she said, everybody's coming over after the wake. Somebody in the family had passed away. And either Kevin or Maddie said, let's go to Vinny's place. And I locked the doors and I let everybody just do the thing. And the pizza guy brought pizza over. And I said to Jimmy behind my bar, don't charge nobody. And Maddie wanted to watch a movie. So we put on, I swear to God, we put on Pope of Greenwich Village. And I'm looking there. We're looking at Frank Vincent, Tony Musante, and Maddie looks over. He said, you could do that. I says, I always wanted to talk to you about that, but I didn't. So he leans over and he says to Kevin, Vic, meaning Vic Ramos, who was his manager, can't help Vinny out, but maybe Charlie can, meaning Charlie Massey. And Kevin says, I'll take care of it. And they hooked me up with Charlie Massey down at Tenasta Place. And then I went on my journey.
That's amazing. That's a great story. And then also by the you. So you're a New Yorker. You had clubs in here. What was the biggest one you had in New Rochelle? I wonder if I'm a native New Yorker myself. I wonder if I know any of those clubs.
Well, in New Rochelle, I worked at the Lollipop, which if you watch The Sopranos, when Michael bought that bar for Adriana, it was called the Lollipop. And then he changed it to the Crazy Horse in tribute to me. Because I owned the Crazy Horse. Oh, wow. And the Crazy Horse became a landmark because what happened, I was running discos and I just wanted to be a rock and roller. And I went over and I bought this joint for $500, me and my partners, and we renovated. It took us about 6 months. And when you walked in, you felt like you were in a country western bar.
Oh, wow. That's
and
cool.
The first year we ran country western music, I had Sean Colvin there, Buddy Miller, Billy Vera, and then we went into I wasn't doing good with country anymore because the guys around the corner opened up the club and they had one of those magical bulls.
All right, the bull riding.
It was in that John Travolta movie, and they were taking the business away from me. Well, the girls wanted to go ride that bull. So yeah. I went, and this is true. I went down to Asbury and I talked to a couple of guys, Tony Amato in particular, and we started bringing bands up like The Bangs and Bacha Galoop, Lost, all Jersey bands.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harvey Brooks from Super Session approaches me. He comes up and he says, I want to stop playing, but I don't play any. I just do instrumentals. Now, talking about Harvey Brooks, who played with The Doors, Dylan Super Session, you can do whatever you want here. So he was playing. And I was getting the vibe from people that I was running a pretty top shelf club. And all of a sudden, I get Lester Chambers from the Chambers Brothers together, who I was friends with. And we formed a band called the Harvey Brooks Lester Chambers Band. And I went on the horse tour. We did the Stone Pony, but we didn't do the Stone Pony. We did Mrs. J's, and that's another story. We did the White Horse up in Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
And we did another horse place up in Rhode Island, and we did the Crazy Horse. It was called a horse tour.
And that leads into you have a band now called the Gangster Squad.
And we're about to go on my birthday tour.
Your birthday tour. So who else is in the band, first of all?
Guys that played in the Crazy Horse.
Okay, that's cool. And you said in an interview that you only do 60s to the 80s covers because you stopped listening to music once the 90s hit.
They try to sneak a couple in, but I won't let them. But we are working on Smooth by Carlos because that could kind of fit in because, you know, he keeps saying forget about it, you know, Rob Thomas. And, you know, that can help out with
that
my
makes show. Sense. I never even realized that.
That's right, right. But we have a new version of the Sopranos song.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
You want to hear the lyrics?
Sure.
Woke up this morning and I smoked myself a joint.
I think I see a recurring theme with you, sir. And no wonder you see me as a drug addict. You're seeing it everywhere.
No, I don't see it everywhere. Shannon don't look like a drug addict. Michael, he looks like the Hulk's son.
Why does Michael look that much healthier than me right now? That hurts my feelings.
You don't eat any yogurt, that's what.
Yeah. And it's making me feel great, by the way.
Vincent. We're talking about what? You? You're in good shape.
Yeah, I'm.
But I'm not hitting on you. Don't get me. Don't get out. No.
I've been hard the entire time. No. But I think that Ralph is. I don't think you know how tall Ralph is. Ralph is like 6'6". He's a big guy.
Oh,
I'm a big guy.
So yeah. I better be quiet. He can beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, nothing will be better for my news stories than me coming over to City Island to try and beat up Vinny Vasturi. I'm sure, that would go over very well.
Tallest Jew you ever met in your life, Vincent. Tallest Jew you've ever met.
What?
The tallest Jew you've ever met in your life.
No, Ivan Bulkley is.
How tall?
He's taller than him. He's like that guy from Game of Thrones. He's a bass guitar. He played Rock of Ages. He's great.
Oh, wow.
Ivan Bulkley, yeah. He's taller than you.
But I'm saying, he said, I think I'm the tallest Jew on the planet because I'm 6'5 as a Jew. I don't think there's too many tall Jews.
Billy Crystal's taller than you.
Maybe. All right. Before we go any further, if you are a fan of the show and you are over 21, let me tell you about one of our newer sponsors that is Fully Loaded Chew. And I know a lot of fans of the SDR show are either smoking cigarettes or hitting vape pens. Now, you know, nicotine is an addictive chemical, so we're not suggesting that any new users do this. But if you're currently smoking or vaping or using another dip, it's time to try Fully Loaded Chew. So why are lifelong dippers switching to Fully Loaded Chew? It's the only chew with tobacco-free nicotine. Tobacco-free nicotine means less bad shit in your mouth. Fully Loaded's motto is save a lip. It should be save a lip, try our dip, but I'll go with save a lip. And they've got a full list of cool flavors, wintergreen, mint, bourbon, peach. I know peach is Jay's favorite. And Fully Loaded also, which is probably the most important thing, comes at different levels of nicotine strength. So if you're trying to wean yourself off, maybe start at full strength and work your way down, or then maybe go in the other direction, however you want to throw down, who am I to say? And they have half strength, full flavor with no nicotine at all. And again, those flavors are wintergreen, mint, bourbon, and peach. So once more, if you're a dipper, you should try Fully Loaded Chew. And the team at Gas Digital and Fully Loaded work together to put a killer promotion together for you. So if you go to fullyloadedchew.com, that's fullyloadedchew.com, and use the promo code FREEGAS, you're going to get a free tin and free shipping. So totally free. You're going to get a free tin plus the free shipping. Once again, just go to Fully Loaded Chew and use the promo code FREEGAS for a free tin and free shipping. So why the hell would you not at least go try that out? Check it out and save a lip with Fully Loaded. All right, let's get back into it. All right, so now, Gangster Squad, you booked some shows. You're going to do an actual tour?
Well, you know, we play at the resorts in Queens. I just booked Daryl's house last night. I'm really happy to announce it up in Portland. We're going to do July 15th at Daryl's. We're doing July 14th at the Wonder Bar in Asbury. We're doing a show with my friend Killer Joe down at Wildwood June 5th. And we're doing a concert out here in City Island on the 18th, and we'll see what happens. But you know what's going to happen. You book these gigs, and all of a sudden your agent calls you up, and he gives you a movie, and you got to tell the band, I can't do it. And, you know, so it's crazy. You can't really book too far in advance. You don't know.
I don't have problems like that, sir. That doesn't happen to me too often.
That's a great problem to have.
What, that all of a sudden I can't do the gig because I got to go do some acting?
Yeah, I don't get that. That doesn't, you know, I'm too sickly looking. No one wants to hire me. That's why.
Listen, let me tell you something. If I can help some of the students that I teach, I can help you.
I watched a video of you teaching people how to act. I've never tried acting. So
no, that
sure.
Wasn't my video. You're watching Joey Diaz. You got the
no, 100% it was you, sir. It was a comedy. Three guys asking you. Yeah, take it back. I know what I'm doing.
You saw that?
Of course I saw that. I do research.
But that was a spoof.
I know that was a spoof. I was making a joke about it. But yes, I know. I'm just saying, okay. I do research. I'm sorry.
If
that's
you
why
think
I look...
that's the way I really teach.
No, I know it's not the way you teach,
No,
sir.
No, I don't. That was a spoof.
I know it was. Those guys were idiots. It was funny. I enjoyed it.
No, but that don't. Andrew was my tech guy on my show.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed watching it. I'm just saying that.
Let me tell you what Andrew did, my tech guy.
Okay.
You know who Tommy Mottola is?
Yes.
Everybody, except for Shannon, she don't know who Tommy is.
I lived in Miami. I used to hear his name there a lot. I don't really know who he is.
Yeah, Sony Records.
Shannon, what did I tell you about talking?
Sorry.
No, what are you? Who are you? What is this, the '50s? So Tommy is a big, and I found this out by watching his wife on Jimmy Fallon the other night. He's a big Instagram guy, Facebook, all that social media stuff. And I grew up with Tommy. And when he was on 57th Street with Champion, me and my friend Stormy, we were kind of like bagmen, you know? We used to go and get money because the musicians wanted to get paid cash for some nights, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we were the bagmen. This guy, Andrew, who did the comedy thing in the park, that you think is a work of art, he Instagrammed Tommy and said, "Tommy, this is Andrew. I'm Vinny's producer. Would you like to come on the show?" Tommy get back to him and said, "How much pay?" Andrew said, "Tommy wants to get paid." Chuck said, "What are you bothering Tommy for?" Andrew says, "I booked him." So now Tommy's coming on the show. What happened is the other day I said on my podcast, "Hey, Andrew, where do you get off telling Tommy Mottola that you're the producer of this podcast? Chuck LaBella is Christian. You ain't the producer. You're an acid free. And you Instagrammed Halle Berry. He says, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because I follow Halle. And you're telling her to come on the podcast too. I don't need you to fix me up with her." He said, "Why, did she answer you?" I said, "Not now she ain't going to answer me. She probably thinks I'm a pervert."
Did you say that Andrew also is an acid freak?
Oh, yeah. You know what he does sometimes? I don't want to talk bad about him because I really love him. He's becoming a good actor. But sometimes he says, "I can't work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday." And we say, "Why?" And he says, "Me and my girlfriend are going on a vacation." I said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Well, we're really not even leaving the apartment."
All right. No wonder you got drug addicts all around you. That's why you see it everywhere. The brain wants to see patterns. So that's why you look at me as a drug addict.
Vincent, they call that a staycation, by the way, when you just vacation.
When you just stay in your house, I call that the pandemic shutdown.
All right. So let's transition into the movie Birthday Cake. I mean, it's a crazy lineup. You, Val Kilmer, Ewan McGregor, your old Sopranos co-host actor, Lorraine Bracco. How did this? Now this is a pretty big fucking movie, right?
Well, the guy who wrote the movie is the lead, and it's all about how he put this together. What's his name?
I don't know his name.
Well, you're supposed to do your homework.
You're asking me specific questions.
I'm not the star of the movie. Who's starring in the movie? His name is
Val Kilmer. I thought was starring in the movie.
No, Val and I have like these cameos.
Okay, then I apologize.
He's a sweetheart. And you and I are I'm embarrassed because you didn't do your homework.
I can tell you this. It's not listed in what your publicist sent to us. I'm looking at it right now.
What did she say? What did my publicist say?
It says the cast includes Ewan McGregor, Val Kilmer, Lorraine Bracco, and Vinny. It gives me the film log line and then a link to your podcast. And that's what it gives me.
Whoa, boy, this guy wrote it. He broke his chops raising the money. And we're not talking, his name is John, and I can't remember his last name. I'm embarrassed.
Well, then who's the bigger asshole, for God's sakes, me or you?
Well, I got an excuse. I'm a pothead.
So when is the movie coming out?
June 18th.
June 18th. Okay.
They asked me to go out. I don't know if I repeat myself. I'm going out for the Mob Museum. They sent me an email yesterday.
Okay, what is
in Vegas?
By the way, I'm looking at the guy's name. Is it? Oh no, that's not right. Jimmy Giannopoulos, is that right?
That's the director.
Okay, I'm trying to see.
But he co-wrote the script.
Shiloh Fernandez.
That's the guy. What did I tell you? His name is John.
Yeah, well,
that's
you're really
not
close.
His name?
You're very
Shiloh.
Close. John Shiloh. Yeah. It sounds the same to me.
No, it doesn't. I'm telling you, I'm the worst guy to promote the movie. I don't even know who's in it. I know William Fisher's in it.
Okay. Shiloh's in it. So Shiloh's story. Go ahead.
Have you been to the Mob Museum before in Vegas?
Ooh. What?
Have you been to the Mob Museum before in Vegas?
No, I haven't. Why, have you?
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
Really? Yeah.
Two floors. They got all kinds of sections. They got a section for the Jewish gangsters. No disrespect, Ralph.
Is that a big Chicago section? I can't imagine that being a very big section. Is there a lot of Jewish?
No, a lot of Jews are gangsters, man. Back in
Bugsy
the day.
Siegel? Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's why Mike's here. Mike knows more about the gangster way than I do. He's Italian.
Dutch Schultz,
yeah. Myra Lansky?
Well, I don't
said
know.
Myra Lansky. You got ADD, right, Michael?
I'm sorry.
Maybe he said...
Vincent, not to get off the subject, but I love the movie. I'm a big fan of yours, but I love the movie Gotti, also the HBO movie in 96.
Yeah.
When you played Angelo Ruggiero. How was it? That was a very, very well done. That was very well done, that movie.
I tell you a story. I'm on the plane. Me and Tony Sirico, we were flying out of LaGuardia into Toronto. And he helps, because I love Tony, love him so much. I've been with him since the beginning. He holds my hand. He says, this is going to be the part of your career. This was pre-Sopranos. And he said, you're playing Angelo. See, when you play a real guy, you can't fool around.
Yeah.
You know? And you're playing a real guy about that crew, you know? I'll tell you, so you want to hear an Armando Asante story? You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Sure.
How much time I got?
You have time, sir. Don't worry.
Okay. So now you're talking about back in pre-Sopranos. I think this was around 96, 97, because when it came out, it was a big hit on HBO, but Sopranos wasn't even thought of yet. I go down to see Robin Harmon to audition with Amy Kaufman way down on Varick Street. And Robin had known me because I had worked on a pilot with him. But he also went to high school with my cousin Mark. So that helped. So Robin said, Vinny, you're perfect. You got the part. I'm saying, I'm playing Angelo Ruggiero. I hopped on a subway. I went uptown. There's a bar. I'm back at a Beacon Theater. I'm sitting there in the middle of the afternoon. I'm drinking shots. I wasn't worried about nothing. I'm working with Armando Asante. All of a sudden, my beeper goes off. So then I had to go to payphone. Where are you? Who's this? It's your agent. Where are you? I said, I'm uptown. Well, you better get downtown because Armando Asante is waiting for you. I said, what? I'm half in a bag. I hop on the subway. I went up the steps. He's sitting at the end of the table like John Gotti. And he says, where the fuck were you? I says, I was uptown having a drink. He was totally in character. Sit down. You couldn't wait for me? I said, I didn't know you were coming. It became a real scene. Wow. And he turned around and he said, Robert, I want Vinny up from Canada 2 weeks before. We got to get to know each other better. And we went up 2 weeks before. We went out.
That's great. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
And here's another funny story. When I was running my clubs, I was hurting. So I had this yellow Buick that I bought from my friend Tony when his father passed away. It was a big, long Buick, yellow, two doors, right? 1973, yellow. So one night in front of my club, the guy come in and he says, whose car is that outside? I said, mine. He said, I'm throwing away. I said, keep it, because I didn't want it no more. I just didn't want it no more. It was at the end of that. So they took the car away. We're up in Canada doing the scene where we go in and we're going after the Westies. And the guy said, your picture car is coming up soon. And I swear to God, yeah, pulls up my car. And I said to Armand, that's my car. And he said, what? You mean Canada? How can that be your car? I said, that's my car.
And it was for sure?
Yeah, it was my car.
That's crazy. Wow, small world. That's nuts.
Yeah. How did my car end up in Canada?
That's fucking nuts. That's really
in a movie with me.
That's really wild. It's actually in the movie?
Yes, my car.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Holy shit. That's really weird. That's fucking weird. The universe has plans, I guess. Yeah. I have a couple other quick questions. I want to ask you a couple other quick questions, okay?
Yeah.
This one, I just want to know what happened. I mean, I think it's like 10 years ago, maybe 8 years ago now.
Well, you with the Russian in the tree, I don't know what happened.
You were briefly on Shark Tank, and they suggested that you name this thing called the Broccoli Wad the Vinny Wad, and you said yes. And I was trying to find out what happened to that. Did it ever actually come out?
Well, you know, after we did the taping, I think it was ABC or something flew us out, we were walking out. I'm walking down. I said, come on, man, let's go celebrate. Let's go. And I said, I got this great restaurant in Venice Beach. Let's go down in the water. So we're sitting there and he looks up. He said, you know, I'm really not going to go through with the deal. I said, what? He said, I just wanted television time. I said, you just told Barbara on national television, you're going to make a deal. And now you're not. You're making me look bad.
Yeah.
And I never seen him again after that.
Wow. What a crazy story. I was all excited. I wanted to get a Vinnie Wah. Did it ever
happen?
Well,
if you do and let me sign it, it's probably worth a lot of money right now.
Right. I'll try and get one. I never got one, but that sounds cool. It was funny.
I'll tell you another story about selling merchandise. I'm selling cigars for this guy, right? We're down in Atlantic City. And it was good. The cigars were good. And I was signing boxes. So now he owes me money. And I keep calling up my agent. I said, this guy owes me money. He says, I heard he's in Florida. He checked into a loony bin. I said, yeah. So I'm coming out of Sirius because I was doing Sirius at the time. And I'm driving down the corner and he's sitting outside in the middle of the afternoon under this umbrella having lunch with somebody. And I pulled my car over and I thought I was going to get locked up. I says, you mother, I thought you were in an insane hell. You owe me money. And I thought I was going to get locked up. He was, but that's what happens.
Did he give you the money?
No, nah, I moved on. It would be, but I would have got locked up. Big pussy busted.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. So now a couple of quick Soprano things. First of all, which is going to make everyone on
don't
the show.
Don't ask me why everything went dark.
No.
I don't
know.
This is
going to annoy you, first of all, is that I've actually never seen an episode of Sopranos. I had Michael Imperioli on SDR, and I told him that as the opening line to the episode. I've actually never seen an episode of Sopranos, but did.
Was he upset?
No, he actually said you should check it out. I heard it. People seem to like the show.
Well, that's a good answer. Yeah, they paid for my house.
Yeah, for sure. But the thing that I like, you know, famously, people feel that you were killed off too soon.
Yeah.
And I saw you say in an interview that David Chase admitted years later that he actually fucked up and he killed you off.
Well, he didn't admit he fucked up. He was. If you see the David Chase interview with Michael and Steven, he was wonderful. He talked really nice. He said they were going year to year, season to season. They were in France. He was with his wife and kids. He didn't even know if there was going to be a second season.
Right.
He comes home and everybody said, have you been watching, looking at the internet? Everybody wants to know what happened to Big Pussy. He said, what? So he investigated and he called me up. I was living down a corner and he said, Vinny and blah, blah, blah. And he promised me a good run and he gave it to me. He wrote for me. He wrote for David. He wrote for Jimmy. He wrote for Michael. He brought Louis Lombardi in, who was my childhood friend, to play my informant guy. So he wrote for us and he really loved and still does Tony Sirico. If you look at the pilot, Tony had one line.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah, wait a second. You never saw this.
I haven't
show.
Seen the pilot.
I'm talking to the wrong guy.
No, talk to Vecchione. Vecchione can answer that.
Wait, do you remember the pilot and Tony Sirico had one line about the dumpster and Joe Barone?
Yeah, no, I remember. Yes, I do. I remember he wasn't a big part. But I will say this. I love the part when you are flipping and the cop, your friend, as you said, he's your childhood friend. He's in the car and he's leaning on you. You know what I mean? I really like those scenes where he's, you know, trying to get you to, you're already flipped, but you're having second thoughts about it. But he's like, he's leaning on you more and more. And finally, he's like, you're going to do exactly what the fuck I tell you to do. And
well, it was after Lilo Brancato's character got killed and he believed I was in on it. I think that's what you're talking about. Were you there? You're not supposed to be. And he was pushing me, man.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something about Jimmy before you guys go. But you know what, Ralph? You don't watch The Sopranos. So I'll tell this story to Michael.
But let me I want to ask you about the scene also.
Ask me about the ending. I never saw it.
No, not the ending, but the scene where you're fiddling with the why. You console Tony's son, you know, because it's some kind of an event, his confirmation or something
yes.
like that. And then you have to go into the bathroom and adjust the wire. And then you end up crying.
No, you watched it in reverse. I'm home.
Right.
I'm putting the wire on. I push my wife around.
Oh, that's right.
Then it cuts to where's pussy? And you see me in the bathroom crying.
Yeah.
The time I talked to Robert Eilert, that was a different episode. That's when I talked to, I told him that your father's a good guy.
Right.
But the sequence of that was I was in the bathroom, mine, trying to put the wire on. I freaked out. I pushed my wife around. And then Jimmy says, Tony, where's pussy? Because they were taking a family picture. And it cuts to me in the bathroom. And David only gave me one take on that.
That's right. That's right. That was emotional.
Really, I'm only giving you one take, so you got to go for it. And yeah, but you, let me tell you something. You know, when you listen to Michael and Steven talk about on their show about the writing on that show, Ralph, was so rich that kids today, like Shannon, are going to watch it and they're going to discover a whole new way of acting. And let me tell you something. Lady Gaga was on The Sopranos. But you don't know that, Rob, because you never watched it.
No, I never.
Now, Michael, what did Lady Gaga play?
What was she? I don't remember that.
She was one of Meadows' classmates at Columbia.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to take your word for it, Vinny.
Well, it's true. Why would I lie to you?
I know. I'm kidding. Let me ask you this. Knowing that you're, I believe, and I could be wrong again because I was already wrong once, that you're single. Are you a single man?
Michael, why is he asking me these questions?
I'll tell you why.
I think he actually is hitting on you now.
I'm hitting on you. No, my question is, do you think that your career with the ladies would be better if your nickname was Big Cock instead of Big Pussy? It might have done better for you.
You know, I thought that I was talking to an intelligent person tonight, and now I realize I'm talking to a fucking asshole jerk off.
A stoner. A stoner.
You know, I put the big pussy curse on you, buddy. Imagine living with this fucking name for 20 years. You're walking down the street with your daughter and somebody yells out big pussy. I'm in the fucking zoo in National Park in Washington, D.C., holding my granddaughter's hand, and some bitch yells out pussy. And I said to my granddaughter, they're looking for the lions.
That's fucking great. That is great, sir.
That's Jesus. A true story.
I'm sure it is. That's awesome. That is
my daughter, my nephew, and he's going to probably watch this show. He's a big fan of yours. My nephew, Michael, he was like Peter. He denied me. He teaches in class, and somebody said to him, Mr. Pastor, is that your father or your uncle on that Sopranos? Is big pussy? And Michael said, I don't know who you're talking about. But now he wants autographs.
Right. It is. Ooh. I tell you, it isn't a testament to how well the show was written that, you know, I don't know how many years it's been off the air, but everyone is still obsessed with everything Sopranos. It tells you everything you need to know.
Well, I don't think the pandemic hurt it at all.
Well, that's for sure. I'm sure a lot of people rewatched everything during the pandemic.
Right. I watched, during the pandemic, I watched every single Steve McQueen's movies, and I read his life story. And when it would come to a movie he was shooting, I'd put a mark in there and I'd watch the movie.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Ask me anything about Steve McQueen, I'll tell you.
Mike, do you have any Steve McQueen questions for him? See if you can stump Vinny?
That was before my time.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, I'm trying to act cool here.
You don't know who Steve McQueen was.
I know who he is, but I don't know enough about.
He's not with us anymore.
I'm aware of that.
He left us.
I'm aware. I know he was like the original.
Bob Daly McGraw, you know.
He's one of the original kings of cool, right? He's Steve McQueen.
He is kings of cool.
I'm going to be fucking this up now, but was he in Bullet? Is that right?
He was Bullet. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Look at me.
Yes. Okay. Good. You get a spot for that.
Vincent, can I ask you a question about you grew up in the Bronx and
I grew up in New Rochelle.
New Rochelle. Did you have any brush ups with actual? Because you played a mob guy, you played several mob guys, obviously. Do you have brush ups with actual? You must have had brush ups with the actual guy.
Have I had brush ups with the actual kind of guys?
The actual guys, actual made guys, yeah.
Well, you don't know who's made. You never know who's made, especially when you're kids. But we lived in an Italian American neighborhood.
Right.
And, you know, everybody had to survive. My father, he was a bookie. You know, you do what you got to do. But we never thought about mafia or anything like that. We just knew people like bookies. And then one day we heard that there was this guy, his name was Nunzi, and he had a lemonade stand across the street from the school. They found his body in Denver in a trunk. And then we started putting two and two together. And then the FBI moved into New Rochelle, and they were on the 7th floor. They were watching everybody. And then as you get older, you realize that a lot of the wise guys from the Bronx, they lived in New Rochelle.
Right.
They lived up there.
Huh.
You know? And, you know, yeah, and I learned a lot. I remember there was I can't even talk about these people because the families get mad when you drop names. But there was this one character that he was George Raft. He was Humphrey Bogart, you know. And you remember the way they dressed and the way they ran, you know, the hair and everything like that. You know, there was a certain style, you know. But then there was the other side of all of that. And it was, you know, because I came through the disco era, the 70s. Mm-hmm. Everybody was doing coke, you know, and the coke was coming in from the mob.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you talk about American Gangster, it was coming over, or the body bags. I knew for a fact that the coke was coming down from Provincetown in a helicopter, and they used to drop bags of it in Pelham Bay Park.
Jesus, that's crazy. That's wild. Did you live in the Bronx? I mean, now you live in City Island.
I'm on City Island.
Yeah. Have you lived in New York your whole life, or when have you moved ever? You've always been true to New York.
I was going after Sopranos when I started getting some work in L.A. I was going back and forth.
Right. And also, by the way, you touched on this a little bit. I imagine it does happen often. Do you and Joey Diaz, do people come up and think you're him and think he's you? Does that happen a lot? Because you thought I was confusing somebody.
Joey Diaz, you put his picture next to me, it's like before and after. Don't compare me to that guy.
You're the one that did it, sir.
Goddamn bulldog.
You're the one that did it. You thought I confused you.
He says, I'm getting all your work. I said, you don't look like me. Well, he's in the Saints of Newark, right? So I did his podcast a couple of weeks ago. I said, Joey, what part you play? I can't tell. I said, what can you tell me? Oh, I can't tell. I sent a non-disclosure. 5 minutes later, I said, Joey, who'd you work with in your scene? Ray Liotta. I said, what part were you playing? Oh, I can't tell you. I said, you just told me you were in a scene with Ray Liotta.
All right. Then the last thing I want to tell you that's just kind of funny is that, again, never seeing a Sopranos episode, but I know.
I don't want to talk about that no more. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
What's the name of my movie? I got another movie coming out right
Birthday
now.
Cake is the name of your
and
movie.
I got Made in Chinatown that's out right now.
Wait, that's out now?
Yeah.
All right, look at you. All right.
It's on all of the cable show. I think it came out the other day. I got a couple of things coming out.
So can I tell you something, sir, that on your actual list of movies.
You got to be an actor because I can teach Michael. You're forgotten. You're forgotten case.
Forgotten or a lost cause?
Forgotten.
It seems much worse.
It does seem much worse.
You're part of the past, buddy.
Oh, man. I really rubbed Vincent the wrong way this whole time.
No, you didn't rub me the wrong way. You didn't rub me the wrong way. But you got no future.
No, that's fine. I'll take that. As long as I have a present, I'm happy with it.
The present is over.
Well, no, we're living in the present, sir.
Listen, I got to get up early tomorrow. I got a union meeting.
All right, so we're going to do this really quickly.
I got to crawl out of my bed and come to the computer and zoom into LA. Is that tough? No.
All right, we'll do the first right now, Shannon.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
What do you want to do?
The name of the show is called Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. As you know, we ask every guest since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and what we mean by that is the first concert you ever went to see.
Brooklyn Paramount, Murray the K, Ronnie and the Ronettes.
Oh wow.
Stevie Wonder on his harmonica doing I'm a rock and roller.
How old were you at the time?
15.
That's fucking great. You saw Stevie Wonder when he was little Stevie. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was doing everybody. Fingertips.
Yeah.
Part one and two.
Amazing. That's fucking awesome.
Then we saw Chuck Berry and Laverne Baker and Joanne Campbell. You don't remember those people. At the Nourishell. They used to, Alan Freed used to make these rock and roll movies and send them out with rock and rollers on tour. So you would see these acts come out. I saw Chuck Berry going across the stage and then the movie plays, Don't Knock the Rock or something like that.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, but then what happened is that, I just changed my lifestyle. I never got into disco.
No. Okay. Fair enough. Now let me ask.
I became a DJ.
A radio DJ or a club DJ?
Club DJ. I used to go and play rock and roll. It was before they came in with disco. When they stopped playing disco, I quit.
All right. Fair enough. And now the first drug you ever did after pot, if pot's not the first drug you ever did.
Marijuana. 1966, I'm leaning against the wall of the Pentagon with my friend Benny, God bless him. We were in the Navy, and he took out a joint, and that was the first time I smoked a joint right outside the Pentagon in my uniform. Put that in your bio.
That's a pretty good one. Put that in my bio? Okay. Yeah. That might be weird
if I put it in my confesses. Bio. Big pussy confesses. Okay.
And then lastly, the first time you had sex.
I'm not talking about.
All right, you don't have to.
There's a girl out there who's going to come back and say, "Boop," and I'm going to get hit with a Governor Cuomo lawsuit.
Okay. You don't have to answer. You choose not to. That's fine, sir. No worries. Okay, so.
Why would I tell you the first time I had sex?
I thought we were getting along so well.
I'm not telling you the first time I had sex.
All right, you don't have to answer it, sir. It's fine. I got to ask it. You don't have to answer it.
Well, let me ask you. When was the first time you had sex?
I've told the story.
Even had sex.
I've told the story several times on the show.
What is it like?
A week and a half ago, and it was fascinating.
Yeah, on Zoom.
All right, so
we're
really quickly, the pot.
Michael, it's great talking to you. I don't know where you got this guy. I really don't know where you found him. He's your partner.
He's my guy.
Silly. Yeah,
he's your partner.
He's my guy.
He's great.
You know, so I can hear you.
You look like Michael. You look like you're in the toilet bowl taking a shit. Where are you?
I'm in the bathroom.
You are?
No, I'm not. I'm in a walk-in closet. I'm in the closet, literally. In the closet.
All right. The name of the podcast is Forget About It, which you do with Goomba Johnny. The new movie, which is out next month, is called Birthday Cake, and you have a movie out now called Made in China, and the Gangster
Chinatown.
You did say Made in China, though. I'll tell you that. The Gangster Squad is your rock band that is going to do some shows, and you could go.
Right. Can I promote them, please?
Sure. Go ahead.
I want to sell some tickets. All right.
Shoot for it.
June 5th, Wildwood, New Jersey, Bolero Hotel. Sold out. July 14th, Wonder by Asbury Park. Sold out. Thursday, July 15th, Darrell's House. Tickets not on sale yet. 60 seat capacity. It's going to sell out. And then an afternoon in the park for you people who don't have any money. There'll be a tub cup in front of the band because we'll be hurting. And that's Sunday afternoon, July 18th. And that's my 75th birthday tour.
Wow, that's good. Happy early birthday. And then your Instagram is official Vincent Pastore, and VincentPastore.com is your website.
You know, you guys should ask me to come on your show more often because I got more in common to talk about you. Listen, I don't want to say nothing, but they hooked me up with this girl, this love connection thing.
Okay.
On these, but they have them on the podcast. I mean, they're making money. They, because they're talking to men. who are lonelier than home, and they're hooking them up with. I mean, I enjoyed talking to you guys a lot better than her.
Okay. Well, thank you. I for a minute thought you were going to kill me or send someone to whack me or something. I don't know.
No, but the next time you have me on the show, you know what? I didn't dress up for you, so I got nothing to complain about.
He's wearing a T-shirt also.
I took a shower.
First of all, I shower at least daily. If
you don't look it.
You really think I look beautiful today? By the way,
you got that grunge look.
Because of my hair? Is that what you don't like?
No, you look like you were in Apollo 13 and is going around the world for a couple of times.
All right, that sounds like a compliment to me. I'll take that one. I don't know.
By the way, where are you guys? I don't even know where you are.
I'm in Manhattan. He's in Queens.
You're in Manhattan, Ralph?
I'm in Manhattan. Mike's in Queens. Shannon's in Staten Island.
Shannon, I did Wu-Tang out there.
Oh, nice.
You talk about that, Ralph? I mean, you know everything about me. Did you know I was in Wu-Tang?
You know why I didn't get to talk about it? You spent too much time shitting on my appearance. That's why.
Why don't you invite me next week? I got nothing to do.
Well, believe me, I'd love to have you back on, sir. We just got to wrap it up.
Why don't you wait until, something else we got to talk about?
100%. And by the way, I'll make you a promise. I'll watch some Sopranos before you come back on, so I'm not an idiot.
I don't give a shit.
All right, fair enough. Michael, you want to do
Michael. I got Michael. He knows more about the Sopranos than you. Yeah,
well, definitely more than me. I've never seen a fucking episode.
You ain't going to pay my rent.
Michael, you want to do your plugs before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'm at Comic Mike V on all social media platforms. And please watch my show on the Gas Digital Network, Mike Vecchione Investigates.
Awesome. Shannon, your plugs?
Follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
Vinny, she talks about ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts? Vinny? You're not answering me anymore?
I don't believe in that stuff.
Okay, I thought you just decided not to answer me anymore. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if I say I don't believe in ghosts, is somebody going to land on my roof? I don't know.
Wow. I think you think I have a lot more power than I do. Just follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton, my other podcast on health and wellness that we do with the guy that's founded Juice Press.
Right away, you bring up like the witch and the devil, and I'm coughing already.
See? That's what happens. We gave you the evil eye. All right, thank you so much.
What's the evil eye called?
I don't know. It's an Italian.
Michael,
thing.
Come on.
Well, I didn't hear. I didn't hear.
The evil eye. The
Malurks. The Malurks.
Malik.
Is that right?
Yeah, we just gave it to you. Come on, let's give Rob to you.
Wow. I've never had a guest hate me so much. Vinny, how about this? We'll let you pick a song of the week. You have a favorite song you want to hear?
Right now?
Well, we end the show every week with the song of the week.
Bruce, Alive.
All right, we'll do that. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Can I hear it, or do I have to wait until the podcast comes out?
You have to wait until the podcast comes out, sir.
How do I know you're going to play it?
You'll have to listen and find out. How about that? All right, we'll see everyone next week on the SDR show.
Listening to the SDR show.